agenda for this afternoon's meeting. We're going to begin with a roll call of the members of the commission, call the meeting to order, and then I'll outline some of the objectives we have in the meeting today. We're going to go through a couple of things, which are some additional input and the recommendations of this commission in addition to the public hearings and the other evidence that's been submitted so far. Then we're going to hear from each of the commissioners who are participating today about their thoughts about the task we have in front of us. We'll try to come to a consensus at this meeting, at which point we'll call for adjournment. So to begin with roll call, representing 1st District, Marion McGuinn. Representing 2nd District, Timothy Hufker, present. Representing 3rd District, Aaron Cotter.
I'm here, present.
Representing 4th District, Elizabeth Bonwart. Representing 5th District, Thomas Thies. No, Thomas is trying to call in. He'll probably call in a little bit late, but he's absent currently. Representing 6th District, Dan Judy.
Present.
Representing 7th District, Levi Shirley. Absent. Representing 8th District, Mary Lou White.
Present.
Representing 9th District, Gene Danicus.
Present.
And John Holstein.
Present.
All right, thank you. So here's the objectives we have today. I've got some, as I said, some additional relevant data we're going to take a look at that's relative to state budget projections. Then we'll solicit feedback from the commission members, try to reach a consensus in principle, at which point we'll start working on the report for final adoption. Okay, and I'm going to ask Tom Simon if he would mind. His office provided the Moody's report to us. We didn't really have any testimony concerning state budget issues, but I wanted Tom to give a little background on what the Moody report is, and then we're going to go through that report at a very high level just to kind of get a snapshot on state revenue projections for the coming year. So, Tom?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I received this report from several different sources, and I called Jim Moody, and he was unavailable to come today. I didn't tell him I'd try to explain his report. That would have given him cardiac arrest, but it's kind of self-explanatory. Jim Moody formerly was a commissioner.
I can't hear you at all.
Hold on 1 second.
Can you hear me now?
Is that better, Aaron?
No, not really.
Come around there.
You know, if you want to just sit up here, Tom. Okay.
He formerly was commissioner of administration, and he was prior to that he was a chief budget official, and prior to that he was director of the division of Social Security. In any event, he presents a fairly bleak picture of state finances. He does not get into the surplus that the state has, which is significant at this point. But in effect, he says that we should know the answer to some of the questions in his report sometime between January and April of next year. And the state budget process is one where they have to complete the state budget by the first week in May. And so major decisions as to funding of agencies, COLAs for state employees, and those kind of decisions are normally made in April. Everyone here has a copy of this report. I don't know that I would...
I've actually got it up here, too.
Oh, you've got it up. Well, you can run through it then, if you'd like. What he does, he focuses in on all the major sources of general revenue state income. And starting with capital gains, income tax on interest income tax from dividends, individual income tax, sales tax, and corporate income and franchise tax. And then at the end, he suggests a potential shortfall of anywhere from $482 million to $680 million. Now, once again, that's with available information. We don't know what a lot of the national activities will will produce from the standpoint of state revenues or the economy generally. So, but this is, it's a pretty good overview, frankly. I'm an expert. He has credibility in this building.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. Since I've got it up here, I'm just going to go through the slides and read through the bottom line numbers. So the income tax on capital gains projection is a shortfall of between $225 and $257 million. Income tax on interest income, range of shortfall between $60 and $85 million. Income tax from dividend, range of shortfall from $65 to $101 million. Individual income tax, shortfall versus the estimate of $76 million. Sales tax, he has a best case and a worst case scenario of between $56 and $104 million in shortfalls. And corporate income and franchise tax, best case of a $22 million shortfall, worst case of a $54 million shortfall. With the grand total of the range between the optimistic and pessimistic estimates being between $482 and $680 million. So, so we just thought it was really relevant to have some footing in what the projection is on the state budget, since we don't have any official data to go on. But needless to say, obviously, the situation with the state budget is an important factor that has to be considered by the commission. Did anyone have any questions or anything to add about that on the commission? And so this report was distributed to all the commission members in advance of this meeting, so most of them have gotten a chance to go through this. Okay, so what I'd like to do next is I want to go through each of the commissioners one by one. So far, we've heard testimony in four different public hearings. We've reviewed a lot of data on salary comparisons, the budget information I just presented. And so to begin, I would just like to give each commissioner the opportunity to just express the highlights of what their thought process is in terms of making our recommendation. And we'll just do it in the order of roll call. So I'm going to start with Marion McGuinn. Marion, do you have some?
Need to move with all due sensitivity to the state budget situation, but at the same time, I feel that we have an obligation to the employees of the state and to the judiciary and to the legislature. To try to at least address the issue of cost of living and.
Hold on. Can you hear? Turn on your mic. Maybe that will help.
It is on. I'm
but
right
it
at
may
it.
Maybe better. Might want to come.
Maybe if you don't mind, just step up to this chair so the folks online can hear us better.
Yeah, I was saying that I feel that we should move with due sensitivity to issues regarding this situation with the state budget, but at the same time, we should exercise all due discretion with providing for cost of living increases or with parity of salary levels, that sort of thing, with state employees and with the legislature and with the judiciary. That's my basic feeling there.
Okay, thank you, Marion. Does anyone on the commission have any comments to address with Marion? Okay, I'll go ahead and kind of tell you my high-level views. I think we have had compelling testimony, primarily from the judiciary, about two primary issues in terms of judicial pay, the first being the general level of the Missouri judicial pay versus other relevant states and surrounding states and so forth. And while we've heard various opinions about the level of disparity, I think overall most of us agree, and I personally agree, there is absolutely some level of disparity there. In addition, the differential in pay between associate circuit judges and circuit judges is a significant differential at this point. It's over 11%, or it's about 10.4%, I believe, today after the changes that were made by the previous commission. Relative to the differential between the other levels of the judiciary, which range from about 6.9 to 6.3%, it looks as though the responsibilities of the associate circuit judges have migrated to a higher level of responsibility over the past few years. although that differential in pay has remained a little wider than it seems what would be more reasonable. So that's another issue we have to address. Offsetting all that, I think the most difficult thing about anything we do is the state of the economy, the state of the state budget, the projections we just went over, and the unknowns about what's going to happen with state budget priorities and state employee pay overall outside of the elected officials. And so I think those, to me, are the primary issues that have to be considered as we have to weigh what we would really like to do in a perfect world to bring the pay levels of all of the elected officials to where we really feel they should be versus the fiscal issues of the state and coming up with a plan that, that balances those issues against the budget priorities of the state. And so I think that would conclude my remarks. Aaron?
I kind of sent that email to you, Tim, on Friday, outlining some of my thoughts. And I guess what struck me the most was that, you know, during the Kansas City presentation, they were saying the legislature has, they all have different jobs, and so they're getting income from that. So, and that we try to find a way to put it in writing so they could vote on the judicial increases separate from the legislative increase. Because in the past, they had just, you know, voted it down because they were all in one. So I was thinking, obviously, I agree, like, and Tim, like you said, I think most of us agree about that the, there's a difference in the disparity of income for the justices. However, I don't believe that there needs to be an increase legislatively. So, I mean, that hasn't even really come up, but I just want to make sure that there are two cut and dry separate proposals in there so that way they can't just turn down everything.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron. Does anyone have anything for Aaron? Okay, next, Elizabeth.
My main concern was, first of all, for the budget of Missouri to make sure that we weren't going to completely exhaust that. But also, I do think that it would be fair to bring the gap in the judiciary, seeing how that's the only ones we've really heard testimony from is a judiciary system, is that we do begin to close that gap in a fair manner.
Okay. Thank you, Liz. Does anyone have anything for Elizabeth? Thomas Thies, have you joined us yet by any chance? Okay, Thomas is still absent. Dan Judy?
Yes, there is a concern, you know, with the disparity with the judges, and I'm hoping that we can narrow that gap so that in sometime in the future that, you know, maybe we'll just have one judge here. Rather, we won't be fighting this, you know, every time it comes up. That would be my main concern. And then, of course, the budget, we'll have to work that in. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Levi Shirley, did you join by any chance? Okay. Levi is still absent. Mary Lou?
Mary Lou of the 8th District. I basically right now disagree with what Aaron Cotter's statement, what she was saying. That's really all I have to say at this point.
Okay, thank you, Mary Lou. Gene Danicus?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. As you stated, we heard a lot of testimony over the last couple of weeks from mostly from the judicial area and some of the practicing attorneys around the state, all of which were advocating a couple problems or brought to our attention a couple situations relative to pay disparity. One, as you noted, the disparity between associate circuit judges is to the circuit judges with very similar responsibilities. The other was obviously the disparity between Missouri judicial pay and some of the surrounding states' judicial pay. One of the pieces of information that I was able to gather that the surrounding states around Missouri, after taking into account the cost of living index, Missouri was still at about a 2.5 to 3% less in compensation than was our surrounding states. So that's something that we need to keep in mind. The disparity between the associate circuit judges and the circuit judges, as you said, was a little over 10%, about 10.2%. And I think that's something that we need to address to make sure that we're getting the quality people in those positions that I think most Missourians desire. And if we can shoot towards closing that gap a little closer, but not necessarily eliminating the gap, I think it's probably important to have some kind of a gap between those two, because they do have somewhat different responsibilities. In light of the fiscal situation with the state of Missouri, with the projections that you showed at plus or minus $500 million, give or take a little bit, that's a concern, I think, to everyone. And state employees are going to be treated in a way that we hope that maybe the rest of the executive and judicial branches probably ought to be treated the same way, at least under these economic conditions. So those are some of my points. And if we work towards closing the gap of the associate judges as well, that should also help in closing the disparity with our surrounding states.
Okay, thanks, Gene. John Holstein?
I don't have much to add to what's already been said. The predominant theme of the testimony we've heard is that there needs to be more parity between the associate and circuit judges, and that is an admirable goal, and I hope that this commission will pursue that goal. And however we can do that, we may have to do it incrementally over time, based upon Jim Moody's rather grim report regarding the budget for the coming year. So it is a very difficult task to me personally, because I do know the problem, and I do know that judges leave the bench because they're not being paid appropriately, and that we do sometimes lose some of our best judges to private practice. Another thing, that the reason the judges are probably a little more outspoken on this is because the judges, I hope everyone will keep in mind, are the one officer, elected official of the state, who must give up their private professional practice, which is, of course, a very valuable thing to those of us who do that. Private practice that it takes years to rebuild once you leave the bench and go back. And I can tell you how difficult that is sometimes, to rebuild that practice after being away from it for years and years. So those are more or less my rambling thoughts, but we do need to work out a way to address this parity issue, at least incrementally. And then also, whatever is done for state employees, we should do that for general state employees. We should do that also for our judges, in addition to the parity issue.
Okay, thanks, John. Okay, and so the task before us is for us as a commission to reach a consensus on what we feel the recommendation should be in assigning salary increases or salary levels to the various elected officials. I think the comments from all of the commissioners, which were based on all the information we reviewed, while there are some differences in our comments, I think generally most of the key points are pretty consistent amongst the commission. And so I think what I would like to do is I'll take the liberty of laying out a proposed recommendation, and then I'll open it up for comment from the rest of the commission, so we can all provide some feedback and tweak it until we've reached a consensus. Okay, and so I don't have this prepared as a slide, but I think in my comments, what I stated was, I think we all recognize the same disparities in the same areas where we think there's room for adjustment, but somehow I think we need to tie our recommendation to the state budget and the folks who have the responsibility for setting budget priorities, because if we do anything independent of that, we're kind of shooting in the dark, not knowing knowing where we think pay should be, but not knowing where that fits within the budget priorities of the state of Missouri. And so in trying to come up with some sort of a way of tying those two decisions together, my recommendation would be that it's yet unknown what the state employee increases are going to be in the coming years, but with the economy so uncertain, if we tie our recommendations to that that's given to the state employees, which will get done on an annual basis, and we'll take into account those budget priorities, then at least we're tied to that budget priority process. And so my recommendation would be that whatever increase is given to state employees is applied as an increase to the population of the elected officials. And so if there's no increase, the elected officials would also receive no increase. If there is a cost of living adjustment for the state employees, then that cost of living adjustment would also be applied to the salaries of the elected officials, with the exception that to address the disparity in pay between the associate judges and the circuit judges, as I said in my comments, I think currently the differential in pay between those positions is 10.4% or something in that ballpark. If we allow an incremental increase for the associate circuit judges of $1,500 per year, assuming state employees get increases, by the end of this first two-year recommendation, we would lower the gap between those two levels to 7.25%, which is a little more in parity with the differential in the current differential in pay between the other levels of the judiciary. So if you look today at the differential between the Supreme Court and the appellate court, it's at about 6.9% differential between appellates and circuit judges. It's about a 6.1 or 6.4% differential. If over the next 2 years we can narrow the gap between those other two levels of the judiciary to about 7.25, at least we're heading in the right direction to try to reach something that we feel is justified in terms of the pay parity of the various levels of the judiciary. But in any case, if the state employees are not awarded any pay increases this year or next year, none of the pay increases in our recommendation would go into effect. So any questions about that? I guess I could take some notes just to help move the conversation along. Sure, John. Yes. Yeah, and if, assuming state employees got increases by the end of the two-year period, then the associate judges would be at that 7.25% differential in pay relative to the circuit judges. That's the way I presented it, yes. Does anyone else have comments?
Or is that an increase for the associate judges regardless of, and then have the rest of the pay, the COLA raise tied to the state level?
I'm sorry, who's speaking?
Levi Shirley, Seventh Sister.
Hello, Levi. Yeah, that's an option. Let me document what I originally presented would be 15 per year for the associate circuit judges. All right.
If 1,500 per year, how long is it going to take to close that gap?
Well, I guess the issue is how far should the gap be closed? And I think a lot of the testimony we heard varied from reduce it from where it is today without a real solid suggestion on where it should be, to close it completely because they're the same job. I think amongst the discussions we had this morning and some previous discussions, it seems like the closing the gap completely is not really where we should head, at least in my opinion. It seems that if it is indeed true that the two positions, and again, this is a disputed opinion amongst various people, if the two positions were indeed the same position, then the right course of action would be to change the way the courts are organized so that it was only one position. But so long as it's still defined as two separate positions, the target differential that we should be shooting for should be a differential more similar to the differential between the other levels of the judiciary. This way, first of all, there are a lot of opinions that there are differences in the job between the associates and the circuit judges. And second of all, you want to have some incentive for the associate circuit judges to apply to move up to the next level of the judiciary. And so therefore, in my proposal, the target would be to get to a differential of about 6.5%, although we would do it over time. So in my initial proposal, assuming the state employees got increases, if we gave them $1,500 per year, by the end of the second year, they would be at a 7.25% differential. If we, going into years 3 and 4, based on the economy and a new review of the whole situation, if we continued to bump the associate level pay by another $1,500, they would then be very close to being in parity with the differentials from the other levels.
4 years, the length of our term.
Right. Yeah. So within between 3 and 4 years, they would be on par with the other levels of the judiciary. And then overall, when you look at, we've done a lot of analysis comparing the judiciary pay to surrounding states, comparable states, adjusted for the cost of living. As Gene said, Gene's done a lot of work on this. And while there is disparity, because of the budget situation, by applying whatever the state employees get, it doesn't really catch them up to where we feel they probably should be. But in light of the budget, it at least keeps them from declining further and creating a larger differential between our state and other relevant states.
State employees are going to get.
And we do not know that. And so, pardon?
When will that information be available?
When is the state budget going to be known? What I can tell you is it's going to be known after our report's issued.
So we just put in the report, match whatever.
The governor presents a budget early in the year. Legislature will have to approve budget someday. So won't really know till May.
Okay. Did you hear that, Levi?
Yeah, I did.
Right. And so what we would do is we would tie our recommendation to whatever the state approves in May for the state employees, and with the assumption and the philosophy that that recommendation or that state employee increase is going to take into account the budget situation and the budget priorities that we really aren't privy to right now.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Based on the figures that I see, if you took the $1,500 for 2 years, that would close the gap to about 6.8% between those two levels of judges, which would be almost identical between that it is between the Supreme Court and the appellate level. So in 2 years, that would bring it in. If you wanted to close it all together, it would take about 7 years at that rate. I guess I would throw a little different caveat in there. I agree with the COLA increases following the state employees, but I think it's very imperative that we need to look at closing that gap, at least to some degree, as soon as we can. $1,500 each year, the second year, it would cost the state just under $600,000 to cover that, which, it's not chicken feed, but it's
So just to clarify, reasonable. Gene, your suggestion is we could tie overall increases to state employee increases, except the incremental amount that would go to associate judges would take place with or without state employee increases?
That's what I would recommend.
And Levi, that seems pretty consistent with your question as well.
I think our first recommendation would be give the associate judges an increase and then give give everyone a COLA raise tied to state employees.
Okay.
That way they would also get the raise, the COLA raise, based on the increase that they would receive.
Right.
Well.
Okay, and so the point being to raise the associate.
No matter what.
Right. And then to any state COLA increase that became effective would be applied to their adjusted rate.
Yes.
Are there any other comments about that? I think the only issue, at least as of right now, is whether we provide that $1,500 increase with or without state employee increases, or whether we tie that to state employee increases. Does anyone else have any opinions about that?
Yeah, this is Dan Judy. I feel we ought to give them the $1,500.
Okay. Okay, let's see. The other issue that we would have to recommend is that currently there's also a differential in pay that's, I think, been maintained historically for the leadership of the judiciary and the legislature. If someone's got the old report handy, we could read off the exact amounts. I believe it's a $2,500 differential in pay for the Speaker of the House. I'm sorry, I don't have that 2006 report with me.
Gave him yours.
Here's one.
I would.
Okay. Okay, so, and this is reading out of our predecessor commission's report for legislators, and what I'm referring to specifically are the differentials that are paid to the leaders in the judiciary and legislature. Currently, there's a $2,500 annual differential paid to a representative serving as Speaker of the House and the senator serving as President pro tem. Then there's also a leadership differential of $1,500 annually paid to representatives serving as Speaker pro tem of the House and to each senator or representative serving as majority or minority floor leaders of the Senate or the House. My recommendation would be to just continue the same differential and not raise it or lower it. Likewise for judges, the differential for the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is a $2,500 differential. My proposal would be to just maintain that same differential for the Chief Justice. Any comments about that?
That's been in place. This is John Holstein. That's been in place as long as I can remember. I've been in better times.
Okay, thanks, John. Okay, is there anything anyone feels I missed in the general recommendation?
John Holson, there was one other item that was discussed. I think was brought up perhaps by Judge Conklin or one of the other judges. It had to do, it's a rather small item, but it had to do with the judicial conference. By statute each year, our trial judges, Court of Appeals judges, Supreme Court judges, are required to attend the judicial conference. The one time, I think it was $30 a day per diem, and everybody thought that was just fine when you could rent a hotel room for $10 a night and eat for another $10, but that's changed. I think under the current situation, per diem for the judicial conference, and as I say, it's just 3 days. There is no per diem in the statute. I would suggest that this committee consider increasing that per diem to the same per diem that is paid to our state legislators while attending the General Assembly. And I believe that's at 80% of the federal per diem, which is around $100. So we're talking about $85, $86, $87 for 3 days times the number of judges in the state. It is not a huge budget item, but it is something. It's a small item, and I think we need to encourage our judges to attend the judicial conference. It's an opportunity for education, an opportunity for them to exchange ideas on court administration, an opportunity to learn about what others are doing to make better serve the people of Missouri, and I think it's money well spent.
So another issue being whether or not we right. So what I'd like to do, I think, is go ahead and put various components of this up for a vote, and if we need to, we can tweak things and discuss it a little bit more. But I think if my initial proposal tied the $1,500 increases for associates to the state, whether or not state employees got increases. There's been support from a few members that those increases should take place irregardless because of the problem we have in that differential. So the way I would like to vote upon it, that vote upon the proposal to provide the across-the-board COLA increases for elected officials, which would be tied to the state employee increases. If there are no state employee increases in either of those years, there would be no increases for elected officials, with the exception of the $1,500 differential for the associate judges, which would be awarded to them each year for 2 years. I had calculated budget implication.
Tim, this is your attorney, Mark Levin. If you were asking for a vote on this, I'm not sure. We got to make sure he's clear on what we're also have a motion second.
Okay, now I don't know if you can all three. Please let me know if I need to put more clarifying comments. Oh, you can't see.
Can you clarify the $1,500 is or is not tied to state employee COLAs?
It would in this proposal would be independent of the state employee COLAs. Fourth point, and I'll read through these. Point being that maintain the current levels of leadership differentials. I read the specific numbers. Lastly, per diem rate. For attendance in the judicial conference. Did I word that properly? I'll say equal. Okay, so let me read through this one last time, and I would ask for a motion. Okay, point number one, across the board, COLA increases for elected officials would be tied to state employee increases in 09 and 010. Point number two, if there are no state employee increases in 09 or 010, any increases for elected officials scheduled in those years would also be zero, with the exception that, point number three, provide a $1,500 per year increase for associate circuit judges in each of 2 years in order to narrow the gap pay between circuit judges and associate judges. number four is that we would maintain the current levels of leadership differential in the legislature and judiciary. Point number five is that we would provide for per diem rate paid to judges for attendance of the conference that would be equal to the judicial, the state per diem rate that's paid to the General Assembly currently. Could I get a motion?
I so move.
On those 5 points. Mary Lou?
I'll second.
I think Mary Lou seconded that.
Yes.
Okay. I think
there's actually one.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Mark Levison. I just want to say as counsel to this citizens group before we vote here, I just wanted to praise you all volunteers. I've never seen citizens work so hard and diligent, go out on your own and try to gather data and be here in your busy work schedule. It's a great testament. Tim, the job you've done has been unbelievable, and the hard work of organizing this thing under short notice. And it just strikes me that when we're here in the state capitol with Thomas Jefferson's statue right out there, this is kind of Jeffersonian democracy. It's finest with the citizens doing what they think they ought to do to help their fellow citizens. Item number three was one item that I want to make sure we're a little clear on, because I understand the way it's worded now, that buck up of $1,500 would be included whether or not there is any COLA raise for the other employees of the state. And I know after hearing all the testimony, all the citizens have heard that there really is some inequities here, and I'm sure everybody appreciates that. The only thing I want to make sure we're clear on is in this day and age, if the legislature decides that none of the other state officials or employees are going to get any raise, and then we still give a few of the judges a raise, and I know it's because everybody wants to do something good, would that end up with some sort of negative? So that's the only thing that you all at least want to make sure you're clear on what, you know, the procedures would be as you go forward.
Okay. I appreciate that, and I think it's worth having just another follow-up discussion on that point. Because as Mark said, it's kind of whatever we propose, it's an up or down, and if there's something in our proposal, no matter how right we feel it is, but if there's something in our proposal that causes the legislature not to be able to support our proposal because of the issue of potentially giving raises to judges when, you know, potentially state employees wouldn't get raises, could theoretically cause them to vote down this proposal. And so I think it is a point well taken. I really, based on all of the testimony I heard, I support very strongly that the gap needs to be closed between those two levels of the judiciary. At the same time, the budget situation we're in right now is not a once every 4 or 5 year budget crisis. It's a very significant budget crisis, and I think I don't know how precedented it is for state employees to not get an increase. It has to be a very rare occurrence for that to happen. And in the event that did happen, I do have concern that the legislators are not going to stand for increases for the judiciary, even if they did acknowledge the disparity in pay between those two levels of the judiciary. And so I'd like some additional comment, but I do think that's a valid point.
Well, Tim, I do too. I think that's a concern, but I think when you look at the numbers, if there's a concern that we're caseloads are increasing, as has been discussed, you know, with the economic conditions, the caseloads may even get larger with the same number of judges. We're looking at that $1,500 translate to less than $300,000 the first in fiscal year 10, and would, of course, it would double that in fiscal year 11. So granted, it's treating one segment of the population a little bit different than the rest. But I think that we've heard enough evidence that there is such a pay disparity in that single group that it's necessary. You know, if we don't do it now, when times get good, then everybody will go up, and the disparity will still stay there.
Right. Anyone else have comments?
Yes, this is Dan Judy. I have to agree with that. I think it's time to take a stand here and start working on this disparity, and I think we should go ahead and go through with it.
Okay, and I will say that this was the number one issue that came up time and time again, and there was very compelling issue or evidence to support this issue. And so that being said, I guess unless someone else has comments, we've already got a motion and a second to vote on the proposal as I originally wrote it. And clarifying what Mark clarified, this is indeed recommending that we give those $1,500 increases with or without state increases in the next 2 years. I would like to go through the roll and ask for your vote. Okay, so I'll start with, are you recording votes, Mark?
Okay. I am.
First District, Marion McGuinn.
Aye.
Second District, Timothy Hufker. Aye. Third District, Aaron Cotter.
Aye.
Fourth District, Elizabeth Banwart.
Aye.
Fifth District, Thomas Thies. Absent. Sixth District, Dan Judy.
Aye.
Seventh District, Levi Shirley.
Aye.
Eighth District, Mary Lou White. Ninth District, Gene Denikis. And Supreme Court, John Holstein. Okay. And thanks, John. Okay. Then that makes that unanimous. I guess at this point, that's all the business we have for the meeting today. And so if I could get a motion for adjournment. Okay. All right. Just for clarification, the intent today was to reach consensus among the commission. Obviously, we're going to draft a report now that's going to support this recommendation. That report's going to be distributed amongst the commissioners electronically and/or by mail. At which point we'll formally adopt this report. Okay. So generally, that is the recommendation that'll be included in the report, and it is our intent to file it with the Secretary of State by the December 1st deadline. Yes, and for those of you commissioners who are on the phone or those of you who are here, you will have the right to make some edits to the reasoning behind our recommendations that gets put into that final report, and I'd welcome you to do so. And so now, if I could get a motion for adjournment. John Holstein's moved for adjournment. Could I get a second?
Second.
Levi Shirley.
Oh. I think time. Elizabeth beat you, Levi. Okay. All those in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, the meeting is adjourned.